Hello and welcome to the Pals Anime Lounge, a podcast where a bunch of pals get together to talk about anime. I'm your host Ace, and joining me are Artura.
Hello everyone.
And Gozo Goes.
Ninja Koro Subeshi.
In today's episode, we're talking about Ninja Gaiden, aka Ninja Ryu Kiden, aka Ninja Ryu the Dragon Sword Story. Apparently that was the name on the Laserdisc version.
Oh.
It's an OVA from 1991. I chose this one because, well, I told Artura to choose one from the list, and this is what we got.
So, apparently, after I watched it, I looked it up, and apparently that's, like, the last installment in the Ninja Gaiden series. Like, it's not an adaptation of a game, it's supposed to be in the timeline, and it's at the very end.
Yeah. I'll explain it in a moment, but Studio Junior. There's about 20 forgotten anime from the 90s, including Gundress, and the only two Mario OVAs I'm aware of existing, because there's no, to my surprise, no Mario anime. Ninja Gaiden currently has a My Anime List score of 5.65. As Gus says, this is based on Ninja Gaiden, a series of platformer games from the Nintendo Entertainment System developed by Tecmo. It's set after the events of Ninja Gaiden 2, The Dark Sword of Chaos, from 1990. So when things happen that you don't know what's going on, that's because it was answered in the game. We didn't play.
What do you mean? I totally was following through about what was happening when the werewolves popped up and Ocean Man and everything.
Werewolves? I thought those were furries.
Speaking of, my synopsis is, on a quest to stop the evil gods from returning, Ryu must confront biological horrors and furries. Artura, what do you have?
No. Well, see, I tried to add a joke to mine, but I'm feeling so sick that it just didn't hit as well. After Ryu finds out that the old gods are back, he sets on a quest to save Irene as she gets kidnapped by the evil people, the evil corporation with furries and ocean men.
Man.
Now I've no doubt that, Gors, you mentioned furries in yours, so take it away.
Oh, goddammit. Ninja Ryu Kenden is the epic a conclusion to Ryu Hayabusa's 15 games long battle against evil god scientist and his bioengineered furries. Go, ninja, go, ninja, go!
Okay, then. Yeah, this was a thing, wasn't it?
Go, ninja, go?
All of us mentioning furries or some weird creature like an ocean man one way or another really does show it, huh?
Well, I described them in a different way, which we'll get to. So we open on a narrator telling us about the gods before the title, then cuts to modern-day New York City. A man is being pursued by two masked figures. We then get a second title card as they start to fight, and cut to Ryu's Japanese store. Then we cut back to the fight, so I don't know why we cut away from it to find out about the shop he owns. Before we cut back to the fight where the man cuts down his attackers and loots one of them before the other one explodes. He arrives back in Ryu's Japanese store, and we learn that his name is Ryu.
Well, I mean, apparently we should have known this whole time.
I mean, we should have, but we didn't. Ryu chastises someone who works in his store before cancelling his dinner plans with her for her birthday. The next day, we see how very 90s New York City could be in a montage.
Can I just mention that, you know, by the time he nags her, it's already been almost 5 minutes with no dialogue?
Yeah, my synopsis is long despite there being, like, gaps of no talking.
That's such a good point. That's such a good way to put it.
We see the woman from Ryu's Japanese store, who we now learn is named Irene, catching up with a friend, who we later learn is named Sarah. This keeps happening. We don't learn people's names right away, and it's just... one character I don't think is ever named. She's coming up. Sarah tells Irene to just take him, meaning Ryu, and I became concerned that this wasn't the kind of thing we should be covering outside of Patreon.
You mean OnlyFans?
Yeah, OnlyFans too.
Pay us to cover hentai. We'll do it.
Oh no, don't make us, no.
Should we do hentai watch along on our OnlyFans?
Click like if you think so, and comment if you think no. I don't know. We cut to Sturgeon and Hammond Detective Agency, where Sarah is asking Robert to find out if Ryu likes Irene or just likes her. Pigtails, the person who never gets a name, comes in and tells Sarah that the chief wants her. Instead of leaving, Sarah puts down a copy of the Daily Timbs, yes, Timbs, because of a story about Friedman Corporation having a cure for cancer.
Yay!
Did either of you pause to read the paper?
I didn't.
We did not, no.
Well, there's two stories on there, both with actual writing and not just, like, the FileMaker 2 software manual, like Art of Fighting had.
Oh, yeah. There's actually text there.
Yes, it's related to whatever the story's about. We cut to Friedman Corporation, where Ryu has just arrived with a card key that he took from his assailants. However, he just follows the reporters in who are there to scream questions at Professor Friedman and get absolutely no comment from him.
Oh, sorry. I like how he just called a conference to just stand there.
I do have it in my notes in a minute, but yeah, he literally just sits there while they're screaming at him, and it's revealed that he didn't actually say a thing, so why?
I think they also later said that he likes the attention, so it was like a really blatant move to like call a press conference. I like the attention, I'm gonna call a press conference and not say anything. That was his only motivation to call a conference.
But the thing is, they're not gonna report on it. We went there and nothing happened. That's not a story.
He just does it once in a while.
Well, Ryu leaves, having looked at Friedman and presumably been looked at, and suddenly he hears a girl's voice asking for help in his head when he's coincidentally outside Friedman's house. He considers breaking in, but decides not to because a neighbor sees him. We cut to a bar where the detectives are drinking before being joined by Sarah, who confirms she hasn't got the interview, and Friedman was completely silent during the apparently pointless press visit. Unless, as you say, it was for attention. Sarah convinces the two to leave because she knows a secret about Friedman. So Robert puts all of their lives in danger by drink driving with sunglasses on at night. Sarah tells them that Friedman is carrying out human experiments at his own house, not his heavily protected scientific facility.
I did find that weird too.
They drive to Friedman's place and break in, finding a thick layer of dust on the kitchen counter. As they explore, we're told that Friedman is dead, and the person at the press conference was probably a double. I was baffled by that.
Dun, dun, dun. I was really confused. I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't realize he was a double.
I mean, I don't know if he was. It's just Jeff, the other detective, just says, oh yeah, so Friedman's dead. And, you know, that was, I don't know, probably a double, maybe? Oh, just casually dropping, yeah, that guy's dead. We know for a fact.
Oh no, I think he said that he's been long dead, as in, like, there was no, like, no one heard anything from him for a while. I think that's what he meant.
Oh, it may have been a subtitle error, a translation error.
Which this anime had so much of, oh my god.
And spelling errors.
Yeah, it was so funny.
We encounter Ryu in a lower level and are surprised that he's in a ninja outfit. And we later learn that Richard knows him from before, which is Ninja Gaiden 2. And he's surprised that the guy he knows as a ninja isn't a ninja outfit.
Was he surprised or was Tara that said that? I think it might have been her.
Okay, that's true. Jeff screams and the others go running, finding him in a room with some dead human experiments. Ryu ruins the film in the camera they're using to take photos the moment he hears that Sarah wants to run a story on this, having not realized that that's why they were taking pictures. Why not write about it, you may ask? Because Ryu said so.
That was never answered either.
I think the implication to me was that if they run a story about it, they will be put at risk. From the
Yeah, that's the implication, but he doesn't explain it. He just says, yeah, just don't do it.
Oh, because he's a brooding ninja man, and also he can't. He can't. I guess he doesn't want to explain to normal people about the secret war or whatever. I don't know.
Well, later Richard demands an answer. Was this because Freetmans was trying to break the seal of the evil gods? Richard complains that even after finally defeating Jakkyo, everyone wants the power of the evil gods. This must be explained in the games. He went on to explain, like some backstory, that he was in Army Special Forces and he was ordered to stop Jakkyo, and he met Ryo, a dragon ninja, so he quit the army to join Ryu.
I guess he quit the army to not have, like, to not be bound by duty, so if he ever needs to help Ryu, he'll be available. Something like that.
It wasn't exclusively just to help. Ryu murders a hidden assailant with a throwing knife and apologizes that he couldn't tell Robert anything because it would endanger everyone they knew. We cut to Sarah and the detectives interviewing Professor Bucky Wise about Freeman. And I wrote that name down because it's just such a stupid name. Bucky Wise thought Freedman was mad because he always used to say, "I will become the world's messiah with my biotechnology." And I gotta say, I would also think that guy was mad if he kept saying that.
I mean, who wouldn't? It's not quirky to think he's mad because of that. It's like, yeah, he sounds insane. All I need is power? It's like, what?
He clearly needs a mental health professional.
Yeah.
He would just casually say it since, like, high school. "I'm going to be the messiah." And the teacher's like, "Okay, Bob, settle down."
As Bucky Wise started talking about how insane Freedman was, Sarah decided it was time to leave, and they left. It felt a bit abrupt to me, but the story had to get moving, I suppose. At Ryu's Japanese shop, Ryu tells Irene to close early, then asks about her friend who lives far away. In this instance, far away is Utah, which is about 3/4 of the way across North America. I looked that up because I'm not American, I don't know that off by hand, so it's about 3,000 miles. Before they can continue, a cat comes into the store, a cat we had just seen in Bucky Wise's office.
Dun, dun, dun.
It clearly dislikes Ryu, and as it runs away, he smashes a counter and grabs a sword an instant before the front window smashes and some men burst in. During the fight, one of their masks is broken, and it reveals a face like the human experiments we saw at Friedman's house. I mean, plot twist? Not really.
Dun dun dun!
If we named these episodes like we named the Greencast, that would probably be the episode title, Dun Dun Dun, because it's happened. It's going to keep happening.
I mean, it's just, it's so many plot twists that it's like, no, really.
The police arrive, but Ryu and Irene had already escaped, even though it was his shop and they had been attacked in it.
Yeah.
Ryu sends Irene away, probably, you know, to Utah. And later, as she's leaving her apartment, Sarah and the detectives turn up just in time for her to be kidnapped. They give chase and are only stopped when they run into a fire hydrant. I mean, they were on the footpath for a good solid 2 minutes and didn't hit anything. I mean, anything that stopped them. Ryu goes to Freedman Corporation and breaks in, only to be attacked by creatures from the Black Lagoon and more masked ninjas. As he's breaking in, the detectives tie up Sarah and leave her while they load up with weapons and assault the Freedman Corporation too, but they have to fight furries instead of ninja. I was surprised during this sequence that a 1991 OVA seems to acknowledge gay and bisexual men. Because there's a quote, "Everybody's like that. We like fighting. We like alcohol. We like women. Some of us even like men."
I like how he said some of us. I was like, I actually really like that.
It seemed open-minded for 1991.
Well, I think it's like in Japan, it might be more acceptable. Because, like, supposedly, like, one example off the top of my head is, I think Nobunaga Oda had a lover that was a guy, and it's, he's a famous figure. So, like, if he did it, must be okay.
Yeah, I didn't know that. Is that what his ambition is? No, 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 yes. Ambition.
To have a harem of boys from Angel Feather.
Ryu hides in a ventilation shaft, like me playing Deus Ex, and has a telepathic conversation with the girl from earlier. But it ends with her saying, "Everybody die." Ryu then locates the furry creation lab and blows it up. Richard's partner Jeff is injured during the fight and sacrifices himself to stall the furries. It's a big explosion. Like, really big.
I just want to mention that the furries are like that main wolf guy from Beastars copy-pasted.
Yeah, it's some blue wolf guy and the occasional other thing as well. Like there's a lizard thing and an insect thing. Ryu locates Friedman and Irene, and Friedman talks about the orb of the evil god he has or something. It doesn't really matter, as he's immediately killed by Professor Buckywise. Reveals himself to have been behind it all along, and the girl who had been calling to Ryu was Friedman's daughter and in Buckywise's power and thing. Again, vague. Yeah, go on.
Dun, dun, dun!
Buckywise had everything he needed to break the evil god's seal, but first he wanted to kill Ryu, because it's an anime, of course he did. Buckywise achieves his final form and obtains a sword from somewhere, and the two of them fight. Ryu eventually wins, but is injured, and somehow Jeff turns back up with the little girl. As the others are celebrating, the girl picks up a piece of the evil god, and it begins to glow. Glow. Go on, glow.
Dun, 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 dun.
There we go. Credits with a painfully 90s slow song. So, was this a good adaptation?
Yeah.
Are you just saying that, or can you back that up?
I mean, I don't know. It had fighting and furries.
One of the main mechanics in the Ninja Gaiden, the first couple of Ninja Gaiden games, is wall jumping, because it was the first NES game to do it, and there was no wall jumping in this.
Yeah, honestly, that off of that alone, it's not like an adaptation screw.
I think.
Just aside though, I mean, I felt this one was a bit of the weaker ones. If you check Ninja Gaiden for like 2 seconds, you see, I mean, the main character, which I can only presume is Ryu, obviously. It fights with a lot of weapons, a lot of power and abilities, and then Ryu over here has like one katana that gets stabbed in the shoulder and then makes his blade glow, and ta-da, that's the end of the boss fight.
I think one of the like big features of Ninja Gaiden on NES was like the cutscenes were really good for that era. Like talking sequences and action sequences, they had those in between each level, I think. So it doesn't feel like the adaptation should be all action. I feel like it was appropriate to have all of the character moments and whatnot. And the action was good from what was there, plus a car chase.
Okay, fair enough. Well, I'll ask, as I always do, was it a Yatta, Nanny, or Baka? Arturo?
Oh, this one was an absolute baka for me. Like, oh my god.
Goes?
Shit, I feel a bit guilty doing it, but, like, I thought the animation was really good, and the other elements, like, I don't know, the overall story didn't completely work for me, but, like, I never felt, like, questioning what's happening. Fair amount of sense to me. So, like, I want to give it a Yatta.
You want to, or you are giving it a Yatta?
I am.
I quit this podcast effective immediately.
I knew you'd give it a Yatta, because...
Well, the anime, like... Sorry to interrupt you, but the animation is really, really good. Like, there's not a moment where, like, there's a still frame of something. Like, even all the little furry wolfmen are animated. Like, at one point, Sarah turns her head and her stupid earring dangles. They went that far.
But when they were in, when Sarah and Irene were in the restaurants, there was just a blinding sun glare coming through the window, so they didn't have to animate anything outside.
Okay.
So they went as far as to animate the earring. Just no, don't, we're not putting anything outside. Not even buildings. Just blinding light.
I didn't notice that, but I think it was a really high quality animation, like old school cell animations.
Okay, well, personally, it was a nanny. I didn't hate it, but it's nothing exceptional. So, does it deserve its My Anime List score, which was 5.65?
You know what? You convinced me. I'm going to give it a nanny because of the no buildings outside.
Arturo, are you back in now?
Okay, fine. We can all just give it a nanny then. I'll just give it a nanny from because of Ocean Man.
Does it deserve its My Anime List score?
It's not the worst score, you know, like, it's not, I think if it had been longer, I would definitely wanted to give it lower, but it's five, you know, you can't really go much lower than five without starting to talk about actual garbage.
Yeah, I think 5.65 is about right for it.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, well, that brings us to the end of the episode. Thank you for joining me, Alter and Ghost.
Thank you so much for having us.
Arigato.
And thank you for listening to the Pals Anime Lounge, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrin.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Grincast podcast. And until next time, game on.